Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're Masechet Shavuos, Daf Mem Vav, the seventh parak, Kohen Yishmain. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Shmuel was asked, if the worker says, Shtaim Katsatzali, you stipulate to pay me wages of two slime, and the employer claims he only agreed to pay one Sela, who swears? He answered that the employer swears and the socher loses because although an employer may forget if he paid his worker, Katsitza Vade Midcha Dechiri Inche, people certainly remember the stipulation amount. However, Yehuda taught that a worker swears and collects even in such a case, provided the employer admits he still owes him part of the amount claimed. The Gemara ultimately explains that Rabbi Yehuda holds the enactment was made wherever there's a shvuah deraisa, even where the wage amount is disputed. But if the employer's shvuah would only be a madarabban, meaning he claims he already paid, then tekansula of dinan. We do not institute a tekana atop another tekana. The Rabban hold the tekana was made even for a shvuah madarabban, but hold that an employer remembers the stipulation amount. Point number two, the Mishnah taught that a nigzal may swear and collect and gives an example of a creditor who entered one's house to seize a mashkon without permission, and the homeowner claims that the creditor took his utensils. The alleged nigzal can swear that his utensils were taken and collect payment. The Gemara says that although he entered the house with the declared intent to take a mashkon, perhaps he did not take anything. In a similar case, Rav Nachman ruled that if someone holding an axe announced he would chop down someone's palm tree and was found later to be chopped down, we do not assume he chopped it down. This proves that Avit Inish, the Gazim V'Lavit, it's common for a person to exaggerate when declaring what he will do, and he may not actually do it. Here too, although he said he intended to illegally take a mashkon, we should not assume he did. The Gemara explains that the Mishnah's case is where he definitely took a mashkon. However, we cannot simply take back what was taken because the case is betono kelim hanitoin tachas kanafa, where the homeowner claims utensils which can be taken under the folds of his clothing, and it's unknown what may have been taken. And point number three, Rav Yehuda says that if Adim saw someone enter another person's house and hide utensils in his clothing and leave, he could not claim he bought them. However, this only applies where five conditions are met. Number one, the homeowner does not ordinarily sell his kelim. Number two, these kelim are not ordinarily hidden when carried in public. Number three, the possessor does not ordinarily hide everything he carries in public. Number four, the homeowner claims the items were borrowed, but he's not believed to claim they were stolen because a chazuk we do not assume people are thieves without proof. And number five, finally, the items are dvarim hasuin l'hashil l'haskir, items which are commonly lent out or rented. If there are items not normally lent or rented, the possessor is believed to claim he bought them because Rav Huna Bar Avin ruled that one who holds dvarim hasuin l'hashil l'haskir is not believed to claim he bought them, implying that for other items, he is believed. Similarly, Rava seized a pair of garment scissors and a sefer of Agadata from orphans and returned them to their previous owner because their dvarim asun lahashu lahaskir, and the father could not have claimed he bought them. So once again, the three points are, number one, Shmuel was asked, if the worker says, Shtaim katsatzali, you stipulate to pay me wages of two slime, and the employer claims he only agreed to pay one sela, who swears? He answered that the employer swears and the socher loses because although an employer may forget if he paid his worker, katsitza vade midcha dechiri inche, people certainly remember the stipulation amount. However, Yehuda taught that a worker swears and collects even in such a case, provided the employer admits he still owes him part of the amount claimed. The Gemara ultimately explains that Rabbi Yehuda holds the enactment was made wherever there's a shvuah madaraisa, even where the wage amount is disputed. But if the employer's shvuah would only be a madaraban, meaning he claims he already paid, then tekansula of dinan. We do not institute a tekana atop another tekana. The Rabban hold the tekana was made even for a shvuah madaraban, but hold that an employer remembers the stipulation amount. Point number two, the Mishnah taught that a nigzal may swear and collect and gives an example of a creditor who entered one's house to seize a mashkon without permission, and the homeowner claims that the creditor took his utensils. The alleged nigzal can swear that his utensils were taken and collect payment. The Gemara says that although he entered the house with the declared intent to take a mashkon, perhaps he did not take anything. In a similar case, Rav Nachman ruled that if someone holding an axe announced he would chop down someone's palm tree and was found later to be chopped down, we do not assume he chopped it down. This proves that Avit Inish, the Gazim V'Lavit, it's common for a person to exaggerate when declaring what he will do, and he may not actually do it. Here too, although he said he intended to illegally take a mashkon, we should not assume he did. The Gemara explains that the Mishnah is cases where he definitely took a mashkon. However, we cannot simply take back what was taken because the case is betono kelim hanitalin tachas kanafa, where the homeowner claims utensils which can be taken under the folds of his clothing, and it's unknown what may have been taken. And point number three, Rav Yehuda says that if Edim saw someone enter another person's house and hide utensils in his clothing and leave, he could not claim he bought them. However, this only applies where five conditions are met. Number one, the homeowner does not ordinarily sell his kelim. Number two, these kelim are not ordinarily hidden when carried in public. Number three, the possessor does not ordinarily hide everything he carries in public. Number four, the homeowner claims the items were borrowed, but he's not believed to claim they were stolen because we do not assume people are thieves without proof. And number five, finally, the items are dvarim hasuin l'hashil l'haskir, items which are commonly lent out or rented. If there are items not normally lent or rented, the possessor is believed to claim he bought them because Rav Huna Bar Avin ruled that one who holds dvarim hasuin l'hashil l'haskir is not believed to claim he bought them, implying that for other items, he is believed. Similarly, Rava seized a pair of garment scissors and a sefer of Agadata from orphans and returned them to their previous owner because their dvarim asun lahashu lahaskir, and the father could not have claimed he bought them. All right, so now we go to our siman daf mem vav, and our standard siman is a cow that goes moo. So here goes. While the farmer swore he only owes his farmhand one sella for milking his cow, instead of the two slime the worker says was stipulated, and the rancher swore that his creditor entered his barn without permission and took his cowbell, a man who was seen entering the milkman's house and hiding bottles in his clothing was not believed to say he purchased them because five conditions had been met. Once again, slow motion. While the farmer swore he only owes his farmhand one sella for milking his cow. Cow? That must be on daf mem vav. Moo. While the farmer swore he only owes his farmhand one sella for milking his cow instead of the two slime, the worker says was stipulated, which reminds us, Shmuel is asked, if the worker says shtaim kutsatzteli, you stipulate to pay me wages of two slime, and the employer claims he only agreed to pay one sella, who swears? He answered that the employer swears and the socker loses because although an employer may forget if he paid his worker, people certainly remember the stipulation amount. However, Yehuda taught that a worker swears and collects even in such a case, provided the employer admits he still owes him part of the amount claimed. So, while the farmer swore he only owes his farmhand one sella for milking his cow, instead of the two slime the worker says was stipulated, and the rancher swore that his creditor entered his barn without permission and took his cowbell, which reminds us the Mishnah taught that a nigzal may swear and collect and gives an example of a creditor who entered one's house to seize a mashkon without permission, and the homeowner claims that the creditor took his kelim. The alleged nigzal can swear that his kelim were taken and collect payment. So, while the farmer swore he only owes his farmhand one sella for milking his cow, instead of the two slime the worker says was stipulated, and the rancher swore that his creditor entered his barn without permission and took his cowbell, a man who was seen entering the milkman's house and hiding bottles in his clothing was not believed to say he purchased them because five conditions had been met. Which reminds us, Rav Yehuda says that if Edim saw someone enter another person's house and hide utensils in his clothing and leave, he could not claim he bought them. However, this only applies where five conditions are met. The first two being, number one, the homeowner does not ordinarily sell his kelim, and number two, these kelim are not ordinarily hidden when carried in public. So once again, while the farmer swore he only owes his farmhand one sella for milking his cow instead of the two slime, the worker says was stipulated, and the rancher swore that his creditor entered his barn without permission and took his cowbell, a man who was seen entering the milkman's house and hiding bottles in his clothing was not believed to say he purchased them because five conditions had been met. All right, so now it's time for a four blabach hazara. Daf mem beis. So the siman daf mem beis is a mobster. So here goes. The mobster, that must mean we're on daf mem beis. The mobster who was dismayed when he couldn't use a shtar to collect after admitting he received payment but claimed it was sitrai, which reminds us a lender once demanded payment of 100 ziz loan, which the borrower claimed he paid, but the lender replied, "Hani sitrain, these monies were for a side debt." Rav Nachman said, "Itra shtar, the document is weakened since the lender agreed he received payment and he could not collect with the shtar." Rav Papa said the shtar is not weakened. So the mobster was dismayed when he couldn't use a shtar to collect after admitting he received payment, but claimed it was sidrai, got nachas from his mobster son who got a modem of mixas out of someone who borrowed money from his dad, the boss, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that one does not swear against the claim of a katan, but then states that one does swear to a katan. Rav explains that this case is Bevo Batanis Aviv, when he comes with his father's claim. Following Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, who ruled that if one says a mon of your father's was in my possession and already paid half of it, he must swear. The Chachamim say, Inu Elo Kameshiv Avedo Apater. He's like one who returns lost property and is exempt from swearing. The Machlokes is ultimately explained based on Rabbah's rationale for the Shvuah, a motive bemixas us. So the mobster who was dismayed when he couldn't use a shtar to collect after admitting he received payment, but claimed it was sidrai, got nachas from his mobster son who got a modem amixas out of someone who borrowed money from his dad, the boss, and was careful to claim only cash, knowing there's no shvuah for avadim karka or shtaros. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, ve'el dvarim she'ein nishbain alehen. These are the things about which one does not swear: avadim, shtaros, karkos, vehekdeshos, slaves, documents of debt, land, and hekdesh. Additionally, a thief does not pay kefil for stealing them, and one would not pay 4 or 5 times the value after stealing and shechting or stealing an animal of hekdesh. A shomer chinam doesn't swear about these items that their loss was not due to his negligence, and a shomer sachar does not pay if they're lost or stolen. Rabbi Shimon says one does swear about kachin shechai b'charai son. Daf Mem Gimel. So the similar Daf Mem Gimel is a magazine. So here goes. The lender who said he gave the borrower magazines. Magazines? That must be more on Daf Mem Gimel. The lender said he gave the borrower magazines that filled up to the ceiling beam of the house, and the borrower said he only borrowed enough up until the window. Which reminds us, motive mixes requires admitting to a defined amount, such as one who claims the produce filled the house ad aziz, up into the ceiling beam, and the nitba responds it was only filled ad achalon, until the window. So the lender said he gave the borrower magazines that filled up to the ceiling beam of the house, and the borrower said he only borrowed enough up until the window. Didn't notice that on top of the pile was Lost Mashkon magazine, covering the topic of who swears regarding its value. Which reminds us, in a dispute about the value of a lost mashkon, the lender swears, because perhaps the borrower will swear to the mashkon's value, and he may err in his assessment, and this lender will produce the deposit, and the borrower will become disqualified for edus and shvuas. So the lender who gave the borrower magazines that filled up to the ceiling beam of the house, and the borrower said he only borrowed enough up until the window, didn't notice that on top of the pile was Lost Mashkon magazine, covering the topic of who swears regarding its value, which was next to a lost sickle handle mashkon that a lender lost, which resulted in his not being able to collect the 1,000 zuz that he had lent. Which reminds us, Shmuel taught that if one lent 1,000 zuz, and the borrower gave a handle of a sickle of little value as a mashkon, avakata de magla avet alpa zuze, if he lost the sickle handle, he lost 1,000 zuz, because he could not collect it if he does not return the mashkon. However, if the mashkon was 2 sickles, and he lost one, we do not consider each handle as against half the loan, rather he merely deducts his actual value from the loan. Daf Mem Dalad. So the similar Daf Mem Dalad is mud. So here goes. The borrower who was surprised to learn that mud bricks, that must be on Daf Mem Dalad, mud. The borrower who was surprised to learn that mud bricks he gave as a mashkon were acquired by the lender, which reminds us, Rabbi Yitzhak Darshan, uchat yet stoka, and for you it will be a charitable act when you return the mashkon as needed. Im eino kona mashkon tzedak minaylo. If the lender does not acquire the mashkon, why would returning it be a charitable act? Mikano balchov shikona mashkon. From here we see that a creditor acquires a mashkon. So the borrower who was surprised to learn that mud bricks he gave as a mashkon were acquired by the lender, and disappointed to learn that Shemitah does not cancel his loan because of them, which reminds us, Habraisa teaches that if one lends money with a mashkon and Shemitah arrived, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Afo b'sheino shava el apalga, even though the mashkon is only worth half the loan, Shemitah does not cancel the loan. The prohibition to collect a loan after Shemitah is oyigos, do not press, and pressing for payment is unnecessary when he has a mashkon. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi says that if the mashkon is worth the full value of the loan is not canceled, otherwise it is canceled. So the borrower who was surprised to learn that mud bricks he gave as a mashkon were acquired by the lender, and disappointed to learn that Shemitah does not cancel his loan because of them, was suddenly approached by a hired worker covered in mud who swore he hadn't been paid for stacking those very bricks and had rights to be paid on the spot. Which reminds us, the 7th parak begins, Kol nishbain shebatorah nishbain v'lo mishalmin. All those who swear midaraisa swear and do not pay, meaning the defendant swears to avoid paying. The Gemara derives this from v'lakach ba'ala v'lo yishalim. Its owner shall accept the shvua, and the shomer shall not pay, teaching misha ala v'lo shalim lo shvua. The one who is potentially responsible to pay is the one with the shvua obligation to avoid paying. The Mishnah continues, ve'eil nishbain v'notrin. But these swear and collect based on a rabbinic decree. A socher, a hired worker, a nigzal, a nechbal, shkenegdo chashad al shvu, one whose opposing litigant is suspect about swearing falsely, the chenveni al pinkaso, and a storekeeper regarding his ledger. The Mishnah explains that if a hired worker claims his wages and the employer says he paid, the worker can swear and collect payment. Daf Mem Hei. So the symbol for Daf Mem Hei is manishtana. So here goes. At the Pesach supermarket, the kids sang, manishtana, manishtana. That must be on Daf Mem Hei. At the Pesach supermarket, the kids sang, manishtana, why is this worker allowed to swear he wasn't paid? And answered, because the boss was preoccupied with his employees, which reminds us. The Mishnah taught that if a sakhir, a hired worker, claims he was not yet paid, and the employer says he already paid him, the sakhir swears and collects his wages. The Gemara ultimately explains, baal bais taru, the employer is preoccupied with his workers and may mistakenly think he paid when he did not. Therefore, the rabbis allowed the employee to swear he was not paid and collect. The Gemara asks that if so, he should not even need to swear, and answers, Kedei lahapis daitu shel baal habayis, to appease the mind of the employer, who would be frustrated if the employee could simply claim he was not paid and collect. So at the Pesach supermarket, the kids sang, Ma nishtana, why is this worker allowed to swear he wasn't paid? And answered, because the boss was preoccupied with his employees, followed by Ma nishtana again, why can't these two workers swear? And point to the one who came after payday, which reminds us. The Gemara asks, if a sakhir can swear and collect his wages because the employer is preoccupied with his workers, why does the Braisa state, Avir zmanavu nasanlo, once the time for payment has passed and he claims the employer has still not paid him, he cannot swear and collect? It explains, Chazaka ein baal bais over b'baal talin. There is a presumption that an employer does not violate the prohibition to delay payment overnight. So at the Pesach supermarket, the kids sang, Ma nishtana, why is this worker allowed to swear he wasn't paid? And answered, because the boss was preoccupied with his employees. Followed by Ma nishtana again, why can't these two workers swear? And pointed to one who came after payday and another who wasn't hired in front of Edim, which reminds us, Shmuel said that a sakhir can only swear and collect where he was hired in the presence of Edim. Otherwise, since the employer could have said to him, I never hired you, he is also able to say to him, I hired you, but I paid your wages, and is believed that he clearly remembers having paid. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which daf do we discuss claiming payment for a shtar was sitroi, a side debt? That's on daf Membeis. Good. Number two. Which daf do we learn that if Edim saw someone enter another person's house and hide kelim in his clothing and leave, he can't claim he bought them where five conditions are met? That's on daf Memvav. Good. Number three. Which daf do we learn about those who are nishmaim v'notrin, those who swear and collect based on rabbinic decree, one of them being a hired worker? That's on daf Memdalad. Good. Number four. Which daf do you learn that a sakhir cannot swear and collect once the time for payment has passed? That's on daf Memhei. Good. Number five. Which daf do we learn that a case when a nigzal swears and collects is when a creditor enters one's house to seize a mashkin without permission and the homeowner claims the creditor took his kelim? That's on daf Memvav. Good. Number six. Which daf do we learn about a shvus hases? That's on daf Mem. Good. Number seven. Which daf do we learn that motive of mixes requires admitting to a defined amount? For example, the lender said he gave produce ad aziz and the borrower said it was only ad achalon. That's on daf Mem Gimel. Good. Number eight. Which daf do we have a machlokas if a sakhir can swear and collect when the wage amount is disputed? That's on daf Mem Vav. Good. Number nine. Which daf do we discuss swearing modba mixes to a katan when he comes with his father's claim? That's on daf Membeis. Good. Number 10. Which daf do we discuss when a mashkon is lost? Who swears regarding his value, the lender or the borrower? That's on daf Mem Gimel. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichur, wishing you a great day and great learning.